Hey there, boys and girls, men and women from all over the world. This is the Road Dog, and you've entered the kennel of my desire. And we have the special privilege today for all those youngsters. Now, we've talked a lot in the past about rock and roll, and we've talked about all sorts of various different types of music. But today, I think, you know, it's a good thing we're gonna work on someone really special. His name is Tommy Nast. And I've done some history, a little backup knowledge, and you can check him out on the internet as well. This gentleman here has the great privilege of hanging with some of the superstars that we all dream of the chance of meeting, or we've bought their records and we can't believe the sounds, the music, the magic that they create. But here we have on the phone, in line, all the way from Los Angeles, California, Tommy Nast. How are you today, Tom?
Good,
Tommy.
Good, thanks for having me here, and it's a pleasure to speak to you.
It is a pleasure having you on the phone. You know, some people ignore, they don't like dogs, you know. It's terrible. I mean, not everyone.
Very dog-friendly.
Oh, good, good. You know, maybe when we do finally get to meet, you can give me a scratch behind the ear, and I'll wag my tail.
Not a problem.
And we'll sit down and have some coffee and a nice big dish on the floor or something.
That's it.
All right. Tom, you've been around the circuit for just a little while, about a week or two, learning the principles of rock and roll and music and entertainment business. Is that so?
It's been a long, fun career, starting in upstate New York in radio and working my way into Los Angeles and you know, it's been over 30 years now, and I've loved every minute of it, and I've had the pleasure to work with some of the most amazing talents, and still do.
You have survived Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
You know how many people every year go to Los Angeles and without a prayer get a chance, a survival, even an interview, but you must have found the right secret door to creak in somehow.
You know, it's been a matter of being with the right people, taking advantage of the right opportunities, and you know what, trying to be a good, honest business person in what can be an ocean of sharks, and I've been able to do pretty well and continue to make a difference and try to do some good stuff in this business as it changes dramatically, you know, on a daily basis.
Right, right. I saw some of the oldie moldy pictures there, which I'm sure you treasure, just like I treasure the celebs that have taken the time to talk to the Road Dog or meet myself. Briefly, I guess, the greatest ones you've had the pleasure of meeting so far.
Well, I would have to say, without question, I've met all the Beatles except for John. I actually got to spend some time with George Harrison and Paul McCartney, and the Beatles have always been my most favorite band, and I think musically they've influenced every genre of music since their inception, from rock to country to classical and everything in between, and I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again. So being able to have had some time and quality time with them, working with Mick Jagger on some solo music.
You got to work with Mick himself.
Great highlight. And, you know, I'd always been very fond of Canadian artists, and, you know, having worked with the likes of Bryan Adams and Triumph and most recently the legendary Randy Bachman and Fred Turner are back on our label here in the States, which I'm extremely ecstatic of. I mean, I was always such a huge fan of the Guess Who.
Sure.
And then when Randy left and he and Fred formed BTO, to be able to spend a lot of time with them and hear the stories that they have and the experiences that they've been through, and they're just such wonderful guys. It's great. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart for a lot of the Canadian acts that have come through and have been successful here in the United States.
Wow. I had the great pleasure 2 years ago, I think it was at the Canadian Music Week, to meet Randy. And he was a huge influence on most of us kids here in Canada, with the Guess Who, of course, at the beginning. I mean, I was listening to Bobby Sherman records when I was a little brat. And then all of a sudden, who are the Guess Who? Well, they're not the Who, but they're the Guess Who. trying to figure out who the guests were. Yeah,
anyway, we're going to get to an Abbott and Costello.
You got it.
and
their music was awesome. And Burt and Cummings, and so I've had the great pleasure of meeting both of them. But when I met Randy, I brought a friend of mine, Brent Derner from Helix. And he was all excited. We were initially supposed to meet, Burton Cummings, but he got sick. And in exchange, Randy was in town, and he decided to come and speak. And we were standing there, and Brent was having a cigarette. I'm not a smoker, but he was puffing away, and I quickly grabbed him by the shoulder, and I said, "Put it out, click, come with me." And we met up with him, and his agent said, "Who are you?" And I explained who I was, and Randy just said, pushed his agent to the side, and he says, "These are people that want to meet me," and he treated me amazingly. It's just something else. And then the fun thing about this whole thing was that a legendary guitarist, Brent Derner from Helix, who has toured and opened for God knows how many acts throughout the world, and he's been at this thing for over 35 years. He walked up to Randy and said, he says, with this flutter in his eyes and like a little boy, he says, "You're the reason why I picked up a guitar." It was just amazing the influence that this man has had on so many of our lives. So
he's one of the most wonderful guys you could ever spend time with, too. He's warm, friendly, cares, and is just an incredible guitar player, and can sure tell a great story also.
Oh, that's true. That's a good musician and storyteller, and that's what musicians are. So, Tommy, you've been involved with bands. Okay, you started off your career with radio. Did you know you were going to be a radio person at first?
Kinda. I always, I wanted to be in music. When I was in high school, I was singing with some bands, and then when it got to the point where I said, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for school and college and that? And I went to a great broadcast school in Los Angeles, Los Angeles City College, and majored in communications and broadcasting. And at that time, it was probably one of the best places in the world. And
right.
It just kind of happened, and I loved it, and then ended up going back to my hometown and was fortunate enough to work at the radio station that I grew up listening to.
Oh, awesome.
In Rochester, WBBF, and I worked there for several years and on the top 40 side. It's funny, I started a little station that was a little AM station, WSAY, and we rocked it. We were playing at the time.
It was the only thing at that time in the 70s.
Well, what's funny, but there was top 40 going on, but in 1973, we were putting stuff on this radio station like David Bowie and Montrose and Slade, mm-hmm. and just a lot of good rock music back then, kind of like in the glitter days. And we were pumping out some major rock and roll on the AM side. People were going, "Whoa, this isn't supposed to be happening on AM."
That's right. Yeah.
And then made the segue into the top 40 world, and then back into Syracuse and the rock world with a great station, 94 Rock. That we used to come up to like Kingston and Brockville and areas through there and do rock parties because our signal was so great. So had a lot of great exposure and fun up in Canada many times.
We like to drink our beer, don't we?
Oh, yeah, Bredors. We used to get people sending us Bredors all the time.
Bredor was the beer of the time. That was the big one. We had Bredor and Labatt's Extra Stock, or Classic. Sorry, it was Classic. That was the smooth one to choose. So back in those days when I used to drink lots of that barley sandwiches for breakfast.
I always wanted to be involved with music, and at the time, radio was about exposing artists and giving them a shot, and we used to take great pride in being able to say, "Hey, we just found this new band from Canada called Rush, great trio," and when you think about some of the stuff like Fly By Night and their earlier things that we played there, their music was phenomenal.
Can you imagine how that band is number three in the world for platinum and gold records, next to the Beatles and the Stones?
Well, it's one of the most amazing brands in music. And I have to give credit to the three members and, of course, their manager, Ray Daniels, who's been a great guy behind the scenes, and has been with them their entire career. And they're such an amazing musical act that, if somebody deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think one of my top picks that's not in there is Rush.
No argument here. They deserve to be there, so there's no question about that one. So from the small towns there, moving along, you ended up straight to L.A. itself?
did. I came out to Los Angeles, and there was a job that became open that I went for, and it was a trade magazine called the Album Network, which was it was a weekly trade, and we grew that to three weeklies covering the world of rock, top 40, urban music, and then we started a syndicated radio network. The Album Network was probably one of the most great times I've had, and got to experience working with every major rock band you can imagine.
Right.
Giving them national visibility and helping them launch careers and trying to put them on radio stations and things like that. We were an influential trade publication that had a great relationship with radio, and were able to help promote these artists. And then hence we started a radio network, creating syndicated shows that would, you know, provide rock radio stations with some great programming.
Right, right. Myself, I started young, working afterwards. I finished my grade 12 diploma, and I took it in hand and went off and started roadieing, and got to work at some of the big hockey arenas and meet Kiss and all these other bands, and then toured across the country. And last show I was there with them was at the C-Fun. In Vancouver, you remember that name?
Yeah.
And that's the last show. We were supposed to do one over in Victoria with them there, and the show was canceled. And then from there, I just flew back home, ended up moving to Toronto, and ended up working the next 8 years at Quality Records in Toronto.
Wow. Well, it's funny you mentioned Kiss, Road Dogg, and Kiss was one of the first bands that I played on the radio.
Oh, you're my hero.
The record came out with the song Strutter,
yep.
And we segue back now to 2010, and they're going stronger than ever, and I have the pleasure of working with them. And
oh, geez, I'm jealous.
Their radio promotion and marketing, and it's been just a hoot, and they're stronger than ever. Their show's better than ever, and their new music is still pertinent, and they've done some great stuff. I love seeing stuff like that happen.
Do you find, being a big Kiss fan myself, we used to have to smuggle the music in from Toronto to, like, growing up in the small city of London, Ontario, we had to smuggle in the music because our AM stations were playing, like I said, Bobby Sherman records and all this stuff. They really controlled the music in our town, and it wasn't until a DJ called Ronnie Legg from CJOE, which was an AM station, they decided to bring Kiss in 1974. And they had this little band that no one had ever heard of called Rush that opened for them at $3.50 a ticket. And like I said, you know, you think ticket prices are crazy today. Believe me, you know how many lawns I had to cut to get that $3.50 back then?
Tell me about it. I had to do the paper route all the time, too.
Amazing, eh? How things have changed over the years, but yet the music's still loud and proud. So okay, moving along here. So you're now working with the superstars, but in between that we have a space here. Now you went sort of publishing, working with the record companies and so on, and helping promote.
Absolutely, yes.
And then where did you go from there?
Label and through the 80s and 90s and into the early 2000s with this company.
Okay, so you spent a good couple decades with these guys.
Absolutely.
And yep. Now you and your partner, it's up to you to say his name or not.
Craig Lambert is my partner here, and we formed Rock Band Entertainment almost 3 years ago.
And how's it going?
It's been great, but like any new business, even with a couple of old scruffy veterans like us, there's challenges. We try to be picky in what kind of acts we want to be working with, but
right.
We help new bands, established bands. We help in the artist development of talent, and we're also fortunate to have a independent label through Fontana Universal called RBE Music.
Right.
And we've signed three acts on that. We've signed Bachman Turner.
Mm.
Signed another Canadian artist named Sash Jordan, who I think is
never heard of her.
In the world today. I don't think there's so few women that have got the vocal talent diversity that Sash has. And we have a young Australian band called Ruby Tigers, who are a great pop rock band.
Oh, good. 2012, I'm going to be in Australia. If you can connect me, I'd love to meet the guys there.
Absolutely. Love to have you meet him.
Super. Sash Jordan, never met her. Just because there's a picture of me up in my website there with her doesn't mean I met her. No, so she's a great lady. Really, really enjoy her music over the years.
She's She's awesome. And I worked with her earlier on in her career when she was a youngster, and, you know, and working with her now, and she's got the gift of never aging.
Yes.
You look at her now, she's just gorgeous and looks like she's still 25 years old.
It's the water that they drink.
It must be.
It is. It's the water they drink. Did you ever have the chance of working with Alice Cooper at all over the years or meet him?
Yeah, I've done some promotion with Alice, and I've worked with a few of his songs, and you know, I've seen some of his tours and that, and he's been great. I actually had lunch with him one time, and just a great guy. Met him at numerous golfing events. An avid golfer, and just a fan. Another guy that's just an amazing performer, who is always pushing the envelope, and he's influenced so many hard rock bands.
Oh, it's amazing what he's done itself. I had a little fight with his manager Toby Mantis.
Toby Mamus, yeah.
Mamus, we haven't gotten along since. I guess I don't know. I've tried to meet Alice after all these years. I met Neil Smith in '73. As a young little brat sneaking into one of the concert halls, and I've tried to meet Alice ever since, and then I had a talk one day with Toby, and he just like, you know, I don't like dogs. And I said, well,
you know,
this sucks, man. Come on.
Nice. Some guys like cats. Some guys like dogs.
I guess so. But
my mom there, road dog.
I guess so. I guess so. I promised I wouldn't pee on his leg at all. So. But I've always been a big fan of Alice. I can't even count how many times I've seen him. It's funny, the other day I was sitting down and I was typing out for my website all the shows I've seen and the people I've met, and I can't fathom, they just keep coming. You know, Elvis Costello one day, and you know, the list goes on and on. But I mean, I've seen your repertoire, and I, my God, you just put me to shame. So
I've been, you know, with some of the, if you look at the days back working with, she's like working with Van Halen. I was lucky enough to be able to work with every incarnation of Van Halen.
Wow.
Early days with Dave.
I got to meet Sammy.
Dave
Sammy
left,
was a nice
Sam
guy.
Sam came in.
Yeah.
And then when Sam left and Gary Cherone came in, and when Gary left and Sam came back, and then Sam left and then Dave came back, and then Sam and Dave went in and Dave came back again, and it's kind of hectic to keep up with it. But throughout all of that, there was that's another one of my favorite bands, and a group that I just loved working with.
Well, they're definitely in the hall.
Every incarnation of that group, they're amazing.
Definitely the Hall of Famers, they are, for sure, in the rock. I remember us years ago as young teens there listening to Jamie's Crying and all that, and like, who is this band? We've never heard a sound like this before, and it was just quite amazing. And I guess every time that something comes out, whether it's a bad album or good album, at least we listen to it and guaranteed that someone in the group is going to definitely buy it because we need to hear it at the radio station.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, just to wrap that up, you know, there's a few things here I just want to close up in the history books of you there so far. One is Married with Children. Would you please confront this situation here?
Right,
you just did the one episode, right?
Yeah, here was the deal with that. I was always involved with the T.J. Martell Foundation, which is,
yep,
a charity here to fight cancer. When Married with Children was in its first year and became the big breakout show that it was,
yep,
they had a silent auction, and in the silent auction was a walk-on part. And I said, oh, you know, I got to try and do this. Let me get that. So I ended up, I don't know, whatever I spent to get that, wasn't that much at the time. And so then I had talked to the show's producers about it, and I said, listen, I just want you to know I host a nationally syndicated radio show. I can help promote the show more than ever, but here's what I want. I want you to give me a speaking part on the show. And they said, okay, no problem.
So you hit on good old Peggy.
This crazy character called the Wild Elmo. And in this episode, I was a Vegas guy with the leisure suits.
Oh, yeah. Leisure Larry. Here we go.
Chains and that. And went up and hit on Peg and Marcy in the bar. And it was a funny scene that I've never lived down. And it still airs today. And the funny thing is, I still get residuals from it.
Really?
Which is amazing. I'll get probably about 45 cents to $2 a year.
Woohoo!
That performance still.
Way to go, Tommy.
You're 89, so.
Well, yeah, but you'll be, like, for years, like, that's beaming through space, too. You never know, some planet somewhere, they're going to get that, you know? And they're going to be like, you know, who's this, you know?
You never know. So that's, and I get to have fun showing my kids that sometimes. And they look at that going, oh, my God. Yeah. Dad, you're so cool.
Well, you can eventually.
You're such a dope.
Do you think eventually it could be a torturous thing to them? They've seen it too many times.
Yeah,
no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't make me mad or it's the film for you.
That's the real deal and how that came to play.
Yeah. Well, okay, the next two questions would be, the next one would be is your organization, your business right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've explained where you're at now. What's the future? Where are you going?
We're hoping that we can help the careers of young up-and-coming bands and create a new legacy of some other great bands and help them navigate their way through this industry with the world of new media. I mean, the physical CDs are dwindling, but music is still as popular as ever.
Oh, just it's and everywhere.
If it's new bands or if it's even the established bands and how they can continue to be vibrant, you know, Heritage Acts are still touring to great success, and I think that's very important.
Yes, it is.
And if we can help take our knowledge and expand it to other young bands and other young people to try to make this business better and grow it and keep it as vibrant as it's been since the many years that I've had the pleasure of working in it.
Right, right. So if you had anything to say to wrap it up for us, because we're at the 20 minutes, what could you say to them? I know you just said something there, but what would you strongly say to everyone out there that's listening that would like a future in this business?
Be passionate, be patient, and don't take no for an answer, and try to network and make as many good relationships as you can, and work as a good person. Don't be a bad person in the business.
No, there's a lot of cons. I've met myself in this business, and I'm still alive because I try to be. In fact, I got more trouble for being honest than anything bad in my life.
Yeah, that could be the case too.
Yeah, it does happen, but I'd sooner get, you know, hell for someone making a mistake that I, you know, that I'm being honest than have something come back on my lap and say, you've done really bad, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's great to be a part of your show.
To
and
the tip of my
I
tail.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak, and I look forward to meeting you sometime and having a coffee or a cold one or whatever works, right?
You got it, a bowl of water. I'm happy, you know, just as long as you get that scratch behind the ear, I'll be laughing and giggling. And Tommy, I can't thank you enough because, you know, the bottom line is when it comes for me, it's I've interviewed so many celebrities as you have and talked to them and so on, and I love them all dearly. But to me, it's people like us that put them on the stage and make sure everything's right for them. We're the ones that make the things really happen. So,
absolutely.
You know,
well, you keep up the great job. And again, like I said, I hope I meet you very soon, my friend.
I agree. You got it. And thanks again, Tommy. And
thank you. Have a good one.
Everyone, you've been listening to the Road Dog Show, and I've been talking to Tommy Nast. And, well, hey, all I can say to all you folks, learn, listen, keep it loud, and keep it proud. Thanks for joining the Road Dog Show.
The dogs are-